Hey, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Features Podcast. Today we have a fabulous guest who just always has so much to give. John Miore's back. He's going to discuss a couple things. Massacre of Femur Creek we're going to touch on, and then we're going to have a special thing in time in John's life. We're going to get to that. That's all I'm going to tell you guys. You're going to have to listen to it to find out. Welcome back, John.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thank you.
I mean, you are like the man that does 8,000 movies a year. Do you not feel you're the new Lon Chaney Jr.?
That's a very honorable thing to be compared to. That's pretty awesome. It's not quite that many, maybe a couple short of that number. But yeah, I've been busy.
I know. I mean, every time you post something, I see you up to something. It doesn't stop.
Yeah, it's I'm in a good position where some of the movies I produce and make myself, and so that's always keeping me busy. I do a lot of just cameos in other people's films. I love doing that, in fact, and it's easy to be in a lot of films when maybe you're in a scene or two only. And then, of course, I get other more substantial roles along the way. So, I mean, I can't complain. I can't complain.
So you're a producer on this film, if I remember, if I read the credits correctly.
Yes.
So how does that feel? Like, so you're the money man. That's what I've always filmed producer is. He's the money man. So how much are you an executive producer that you just get the credit and don't do anything? So how does that feel to get constant funding for your films? I mean, you are Canadian. I know that. Our dollars don't go as far as American dollars sometimes. But maybe you have access to something I don't know, grants and things.
You're going to be surprised by this answer because I'm not the money man.
No?
No. What it comes down to, especially in the case of Massacre at Femur Creek, Kyle, the director, Kyle Heitman, is a really good friend of mine. 10, 11 years ago, we made the short film Massacre at Femur Creek that this feature came out of. And when he was putting this movie together, I decided not to take any money. I said, you can call me a producer. That's fine.
Oh.
You know, that I'll take credit. But Kyle's a really good friend, and I'm really thrilled to be part of this movie. So I did not take a paycheck.
Interesting. Now, I don't know. I mean, you are an actor. I understand you're working for a friend. I mean, how does that feel not taking money for a role then? I mean, it feels like a favor then.
You know what? It's fine on, you know, very special occasions.
Okay.
And this was definitely one where I have a lot of faith in Kyle and his films. I knew it would do really well. I knew that anything I didn't take would go right back into the budget to make the film bigger and better. And that's what I wanted. So, yeah, I made a decision that, like you say, I'm sure most people wouldn't make that decision. But
I don't think
I
could, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's I do that sometimes, I guess.
Well, that's very kind of you.
I can't really explain it.
No, I think that's just being nice. I really think you're just a nice person. You're like, hey, I'm your buddy. You need me, I'm there. I got it.
Yeah. And like I say, I know that the movie's just like everything's going to just get cycled back into the movie. And it's just going to be that little bit bigger and that little bit better. And I'm thrilled with how the movie came out. And yeah, so that I get the honor of being a producer and a few really fun days on set.
Now, I have a question. I mean, being Canadian, I mean, We do a lot of independent films up here. People don't realize that. And you are a big part of my world, at least the fact that I watch. I know when I see you, I recognize you. Do you get recognized yet?
Occasionally. I got recognized in Japan in an area far from where the film festival I went there for took place. And it was one of these weird things where I was walking through I was walking through a bus station, the subway station, and someone jumped in front of me. And it wasn't a Japanese person. It turned out to be a guy from Germany. And he jumped in front of me. And I kind of thought, I don't know what's going on here. So I sidestepped and he sidestepped with me. And I was like, I'm sorry, I have to go. Like, I don't know why this guy's stopping me. And he said, no, wait, Ouija shark. I went,
Ah.
oh. So it's happened once or twice, but not often enough that I had ever get used to
Okay, well, we're gonna get you there. We're gonna get you there, people.
it.
Like you're in everything. I see you a lot, but busy because I watch your films and I know what you look like. Oh, there he is. Okay, so we're here to discuss Master of Femur Creek. We've gone off topic as always. So let's go back on topic. What was on your face? I was trying to figure that out. What exactly was I get up?
It's a plastic Halloween mask. I have two of them now. I have the original from the short film, and I was willing to wear it again in the new movie, but Kyle bought a new one, and it's not much different than the original, but it's pretty much, a dollar store Halloween mask. But because it's clear and molds to your face and has some markings painted on it, it really does look like your own expressive face can come through it a little bit.
So when you how do you get into that character then? You know what mask you're wearing, you've done the short. Do you just like I'm gonna play it this way? Or I mean, you have options with this character. I mean, you seem to be enjoying yourself, but I know you.
Yeah, I'm totally enjoying myself. So, Kyle sent me the script and I read it through once. And then, when the time came to actually shoot anything, I said to him, look, Kyle, my preparation for this, because I mean, the shape doesn't have any lines. And
Nope.
like, my preparation for this is I'm gonna arrive on set. I'm gonna be in full wardrobe, and I'm gonna ask you the minute I arrive, who do I kill today? And that's about it. I just leave it as I really enjoyed just showing up, and basically, you point, I kill, and it's lots of fun.
Okay. How much fun did you have doing the homage to Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Let's see. Be more specific. What scene are
The
we
gas
talking about?
station kill. I didn't even write down where the kill takes place.
Yes. Of course, of course. Well, that scene has Deborah Jane Reilly Smith in it, and I've worked with her so many times. We're good friends, and so already it was very comfortable and easy to get going on what we had to do. The only real problem with that scene was I had to shove a like a gas hose thing into her mouth, and the end was made of metal, and I mean we had to make it look like I did it forcefully, but I don't want to break anybody's teeth or anything, so that was a little tricky. But It was definitely a fun scene to shoot, and her character that with that German accent, I thought she was hilarious. So yeah, that was a fun night.
I just want people to know it's gonna be the weirdest interview ever because I'm only focusing on the shape. Lots of other things happen in this film, which we're not gonna touch on. I'm just talking about the shape. So just so people know when they're watching it, lots of other stuff happens.
I'll talk about the other people here and
I
there.
made no notes on the other people, so we're out of luck. I only have shape notes. So
It
walking
doesn't have
in
to
the
be just
sun,
about me.
you seem to be in the sun a lot in this film. Was it hot or was this fall?
No, we shot we actually shot over, geez, 2 years. I want to
2 years.
say 3. I want to say 3, where we shot some footage, and then it went to Indiegogo to raise the money needed for to make the movie. And then the next year we filmed some of the kill scenes, and I can't remember. It may have only been 2 years, but for some reason I think like maybe 2.5 years before the whole movie was done. But we weren't working on it steadily. I mean, it took the winter off and that sort of thing, especially to raise money.
Now we got to back this up. So you shot this over 2 years and you are a busy man. I don't want anybody to think you're not busy. I mean, you have a family, you have things you want to do. How do you schedule yourself over 2 years?
Well, 2 years, it sounds like a big deal, 2 years, but it's a few days here and there that I can usually schedule in. Even when I make my own films, I'm really open with the actors that I work with about, I don't say next Tuesday at 7 a.m. you have to be there.
Right.
It's way more of a friendly negotiation of, hey, do you have time in the next weekend or two, or is a night better? Like for me, I'm a basically a retired guy who does
Yeah,
acting,
I know
so
that.
I make it work, and and so with this particular movie, it's sort of the same thing at they make it work for me, they make it work for the other people, and it all gets done sooner or later.
Wow. So, I mean, I guess it would help not having any lines. So, if just showing up, you go, hey, I'm going to kill, it's probably easier for you because you're like, okay, Thursday, I'm killing three people. Saturday, I'm killing one, and I'm not going to kill anybody for 2 months.
That I would say the hardest part was, as far as any kind of continuity goes, was I was always trying to get my hair cut in such a way that it would always look the same over that. And I don't think I always succeed. I think sometimes in the film, my hair might look a little shorter or a little longer, depending. And, again, it's most people probably wouldn't even notice. The one thing that you can notice in one scene is, I was filming a movie of my own, and in that movie, I had to have a beard. And the Shape doesn't have a beard in any scenes except one. And the mask is covering it, and I would say almost not noticeable.
I didn't notice that. That would have been in my notes.
There's a couple of places where you can see a very thin beard underneath.
Oh, what film was that for? I have to ask now, don't I? I think I do.
That film has not been released yet, and so as the distributor likes, I don't usually say the title before they
Fair
release the
enough.
press release. But I can tell you, it's a dinosaur film. And it's dinosaurs in a suburban area. And in the movie, I play a priest, and the priest happens to have a beard.
Okay. Now, I may not have you noticed in this film playing a priest later on, too.
Yes. Well, I have the shirt.
Yes, you're good to go.
I've got what the indie movies need. I got the shirt. I got the look. There we go. Off we
And
go.
time, and the time.
And of course, the Catholic upbringing that
Yes,
brings
that
a
does
little bit
help.
of yeah, it does make it so that it can be a little more authentic.
So, let's go back. How many props of your own, other than the pre-shirt, did you bring to this?
Oh, props of my own. Quite often, I don't think it's in the movie actually, but quite often we shoot an awful lot of promos together, Kyle and I. And a lot of the promos get shot at my house because you set up the green screen if that's what's necessary, or well, whatever kind of backdrop. I have a lot of some backdrops that we use. And so on those occasions, quite often the shape has a particular knife, which is, a kitchen knife that I use every day to slice up vegetables, and then I threaten people with it on the odd occasion.
Of
Oh,
course. Sorry, I'm laughing. The picture of you who drew it?
picture of me, is
There's a.
it?
They hold up a picture of you. This is who we're looking for in the film.
Oh, that I don't know who drew that. It's just like an odd sketch, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know who drew that, but I can tell you that the scene with the painter's played by Luc Menach, and that was one of the scenes we shot a year before. The main filming with all the other actors. We filmed that one kill,
Oh.
and used it to promote the movie and raise funds. But in that, he's painting a painting, and then he starts to paint the shape into his painting. And I actually was the one that drew the shape in the movie.
Okay. I know
That
you're an
was me.
artist, so that would make sense. So, okay. At one point, the shape develops a hop. Literally, you change your walk. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Probably wasn't supposed to be the hop.
Oh.
The hop happens when he's running.
Oh,
When he's
maybe it's just
running,
running. You definitely are doing a different movement for the first time.
it's when he's running that the hop is really pronounced. But he always walks with a bit of a limp, and the reasoning behind it originally was we filmed the short film in 2014, and it was a year before I got a hip replacement,
Oh.
and I had a severely injured hip. And for a few years there, I was walking with a cane. I was in constant pain. I'd be just walking in my kitchen, and my leg would give out, and I'd be dropping
Oh,
to
awful.
the floor or grabbing a table on the way down or whatever. It was bad. It was bad. And when we filmed that, I was scheduled for a hip replacement. But it hadn't happened yet. It's still about a year away. And Kyle said, I want you to run down the street, to attack this girl in the short.
That's a,
And
okay, that's the scene kind of like in the movie I'm talking about.
that's how I ran. That's like when, with this odd hop,
Yes.
because there's just, I mean, my hip was totally blown out. So that's how it was in the short film. When I did it, he went, "Dad, run! What was that? That was creepy." I said, "That's That's what happens when you need a hip replacement, man. That's not a lot of acting going on there. So we tried to keep that, especially during the
Okay.
running scenes. Yeah, that he's, I figure the shape needs a hip replacement too.
What was your favorite kill in the film?
Oh, there are a lot of fun ones. The build up in that to that painter kill is great, because I'm not sure how many people would even pick up on it, but there's that where we're looking at each other and the camera keeps zooming in closer to each person and zooming into the painting. And think that it's actually from a Kevin Smith film, where it's kind of, oh no, it's not. I know what it is. It's from a John Hughes movie. I can't remember. Now I'm blowing it. Sorry, I can't remember the name of the movie it's from. But there's a movie where someone's looking at a painting and going back and forth. I know what it is. It's Ferris Bueller's Day Off. There's a
Oh my
scene
God, I
like
haven't seen
that.
that in years.
Yeah, there's a scene like that in Ferris Bueller, and that's what happened there. So that kill has it's fun. Luke is great as the painter, and it has that little John Hughes reference, which I like. But there's another scene closer to the end of the movie with Colin Pendergast, and he and I have a fight on a bridge. And when we shot that, it was about 4 in the morning, maybe 4:30 in the morning,
You sound asleep.
and we were fighting against, the sun was getting ready to come up, and we had to shoot the scene. So we're rolling around on this bridge, and it's cold, and we're both trying, like we're both, wanted it to look great, right? So we're rolling around and trying to get all the moves right for this fight. And it's not like we're trained stunt people or anything, but we have to do all the moves ourselves, of course. So, and then it ends with I have to slit his throat. And we had this prosthetic that had to quickly be applied because we're losing darkness, right? The sun's coming up. And so we're applying this prosthetic, and we know we've got one chance of getting it right, because the first time that the blood comes out, it's going to wreck his shirt. Like, that's it. There's like one chance to get this shot. And I'm helping to apply the prosthetic. And, like, it's just like everybody, all hands on deck. And we got it, and that throat slashing scene looks great, and I'm really happy at it worked out. That's one of the more fun kills in the movie.
After you've made a film, it's been 2 years. I get that. You mean you're doing promo shots, you're doing all that. Do you have another project already in mind when you're done? Like, I mean, I know you're doing projects all the time, but how do you promote this? It's been 2 years. I mean, you're like, are you over it at that point?
No. The promo stuff is fun. So I don't ever really get to that point of feeling like I'm over it. It's what happens, there were a lot of questions there. Let me see if I can get it all
Okay.
straightened out in my head. So first of all, the other jobs that come along are often not separate, like you finish this and you go on to that.
Right.
I tend to be doing a few things on the go at the same time. So while I was acting in Massacre at Femur Creek, I was shooting this dinosaur film. When we first started started shooting Massacre at Femur Creek. I was just finishing Ouija Shark 2. And occasionally I get little other jobs along the way. I edited a movie called Beneath the Old Dark House. That might have even been while filming Massacre at Femur Creek. So it kind of all just blends together, and I do my best to keep them straight.
Okay, well, I guess it's time to let them in on our big surprise. You had a trip of a lifetime, I would say, recently, so let's discuss it.
Yeah. So I was invited to a film festival in Japan. The Shark Society in Japan invited me down. It's a shark film festival, and they show shark films from all around the world. And they worked out a situation with my distributor to have Ouija Shark 3, which I had just finished making a few months before, play at their festival. So they had me come down, and we showed the movie twice, once on a Saturday and once on a Sunday. Both shows were sellouts. Met some incredible people, lots of fans. It was a wild time. It's not something most indie directors, actors, ever really get. It's hard to even describe how much you felt like the love for the kind of movies that you made. I mean, I'm used to watching, snotty YouTube videos about my movies or how good or bad my acting is in those movies. But to have fans genuinely want to approach you with a love for your film, wow, incredible.
Yeah, I'm going to pick up on two things here. We're going to start with the YouTubers. That's why you come on my show. I have fun. I don't care what the film's about. We have a good time. The YouTubers are just sitting in their basement upset. They're not making movies.
Well, and here's the thing, okay? 'Cause I don't want to disparage
Oh, I will.
reviewers either, but there is a certain faction, let's say, out there that know that, let's say, they'll get more viewership, kind of being a little rough on a cheesy low budget movie rather than enjoying it for what it is.
And that to me is just lame reviewing. That's just doing it for hits. And I'm never going to do that. I watch things because I enjoy them. And if it's independent, I understand you have X number of dollars, use them wisely. That's all I'm asking.
And use it. I mean, that's
Yes.
where we were about Massacre at Femur Creek. I knew that every cent Kyle raised was going into making that movie better. He gets so excited about things like, I found the old pop top pop cans, from the 80s, still unopened, and I bid on them and bought them so we could use them in the movie and pop them open for the first time. And it's like, that's just devotion to the art, the what you want to represent on screen. And that's I love to see that.
Okay, now let's go back to Japan.
Yes.
How does it feel having people like so? Obviously, they recognize you, they know you're there. I mean,
Yes.
how many photos did you take? How many autographs did you sign? And they gave you free hotel and free airfare, and you got it all?
Pretty much.
Nice.
As far as the amount of, I would say probably hundreds of autographs, hundreds of
That's great.
photos, like, and on a number of occasions. So it'd be like, okay, we have a little signing session for you before the movie begins. So you have to be here half an hour early. And I'd do a signing session. And then he'd say, after the movie, there's another signing session. I went, there's still more people that want to meet me? Oh yeah, there's more people. I'm, okay. And then there'd be a long session after the movie. And then the next day we did the same thing again. And then we had a morning signing session. Then we had an evening signing session. I was like, I think you found everybody, in this hemisphere that wants my autograph and brought them to this place.
But you are a celebrity to them, though. Maybe you're the first person to come to the festival.
Mark Polonia, who does a lot of shark films, Sharkenstein, Sharkula, he was there 2 weeks before. So he was their big guest 2 weeks before, and then 2 weeks later it was me. And I'm sure he got the royal treatment as well.
So you're in Japan, you've done your what you're supposed to do. What else did you do? Did you have an itinerary? I mean, how much days did you have?
One of my favorite days that we were there that wasn't festival related was I was asked to be involved with Onsen Shark 2. Here in North America, it got released as Hot Springs Shark Attack. And that's the first movie. When people learned that I was going to be in Japan, I got contacted by the promoters of the festival saying, there's a director here, I would like you to shoot a cameo while you're in Japan. So I shot a scene for the second movie. It was fantastic. It was so much fun on set. I got to meet a lot of the characters. I had seen the first movie, so it was super exciting to meet everybody. And then afterwards, one of the festival promoters took me and my family to a big Buddhist temple. It was beautiful. We went for lunch, and by 11 o'clock in the morning, I was like, this day owes me nothing. This has got to be one of the greatest days. I've had so much fun. And the promoter asked me, so what do you want to do? We're here in Akusa. Where do you want to go? And I said, well, I hear that there's a building with a big chef's head on top of it. I'd really like to see it. He looked at me like I was out of my mind and said, what do you want to see that for? That's just on top of some like kitchen store that has, like knives and forks. Like, why would you want to see that? I said, because it's in this movie called Monster Seafood Wars that I love. And in the movie, there's all these seafood monsters destroying Tokyo, and they cut to that building with the chef's head, and the building opens up, and inside is a whole giant robot chef, and he fights the monsters and cuts them up, and it's so much fun. It's a fun movie. And the promoter, Munenori Kita is his name. Munenori thought, you saw that movie? I said, yeah, I like that movie because you like that. You said, even in Canada, you see these. Yes, I saw it. It's great. And then he said, the director of that movie is showing a film at our film festival tonight. And I'm the producer of that movie.
Oh,
And I said, well, we have to come then.
oh,
So
that's awesome.
we went to the premiere of this, I want to call it Sharkopoly here. It's Game of Shark. Game of Shark, it's called. And the movie's directed by Minoru Kita. No, I'm sorry, I just said it wrong. Minoru Kawasaki, who's really well known for all kinds of amazing stuff out of Japan. Den Ace, which is kind of like an Ultraman thing, Calamari Wrestler, which is amazing. Crab Goalkeeper, giant crab. It's a soccer goalie. It's awesome. And so I went to this movie excited to see his film and to maybe meet him at the end. And as I'm watching the movie, all of a sudden one of the characters turns to the shark and says, "Mystic Shield," and starts waving these shields. And I went, "What the? That's my gimmick."
I know.
He's got that in his movie. Like, he must like my movie the way I like his movie. So it was kind of mind blowing. And then we met afterwards, and we showed our appreciation for each other's films, and then we ended up a few days later hanging out for the day and doing a bunch of things. And I thought, this is incredible to be able to do that. So now we're working to produce a movie together.
Awesome.
And that movie's called Shark 51. And there's only a few days left in the fundraiser for it. The fundraiser is taking place in Japan, so it's not on Indiegogo. It's some, I can't remember the name of the site over in Japan. But yeah, we're figuring out a way of being able to do this movie together, even though we're in different places. So besides the festival, meeting him, being an Onsen Shark too, I mean, the whole trip was incredible.
Okay, what about, did you get to your building?
No. No.
No.
No.
Okay.
It worked out instead that it was like, okay, we'll skip the building, but we'll meet the director. That's better.
Okay. Now, you spent the day with the director, which is great. What did you do with him? Did you do like something special or just hang out?
Had a whole itinerary of we're going to pick you up at the hotel, and then we're going to go shopping in this district of I forget what it's called. We went to this shopping district where there are a lot of toys, a lot of old toys too. It was fantastic to see. And of course, he's a collector, I'm a collector. So we had a great time digging through these stores and finding weird stuff that some of which I bought to bring back. And we had ice cream, we had dinner, we hung out with his family and my family, and it was mind blowing. I mean, who expected that? It just
So
happened.
there's a question. Like, you're in Japan, so this is a maybe once in a lifetime visit. As a collector, and you're seeing something, and you're humming and hawing, and you know this is it. If you do not buy this, you're out of luck. How does that feel? Because we both collect comic books. I want people to know that, and I felt that way with comics numerous times. I bought something, and I'm like, I may never see this again.
Yeah, this is going to surprise you. I was told ahead of time by the organizers of the festival that be prepared, people are going to give you gifts.
Oh.
And I was like, well, they don't have to do that. He goes, you don't understand. It's not that they have to or don't have, they want to give you gifts, and they're just going to. And so I knew that I couldn't buy a lot of big stuff while I was there. Because we got so much stuff from people that I mean, it's so generous, so wonderful that some of it was food, some of it was drink, some of it was little toys and gifts and collectibles, and it was amazing. Again, like the outpouring is of love for the movies, for, I mean, you really have to step back and feel honored, because at this level of making little micro budget movies, who the heck gets to see that? It was, it's something that I'll always remember.
That's awesome. I do, as a collector, I do have one question, and this is for myself. How many Godzilla collectibles did you see that you can't get anywhere else?
Plenty. One of the places we went to was the Godzilla store.
Yes, that's okay. You're going where I'm going. Good. You did go to my store. I need to go to.
Yeah, we went to the Godzilla store. We took a lot of pictures with it. There's a giant Godzilla in the store. We took a
I've
bunch
seen
of,
it.
and I bought exactly nothing there.
Oh, so no. I would be leaving with something.
There was so much I wanted. But I decided that I would go for small things, and it worked out quite nicely, actually, in that what I did buy for myself toy-wise while in Japan was, they have these things called gachapons, and what it is it's a little toy that comes in a little plastic bubble that you get out of like a almost like a gumball machine.
Yep, I know what they are.
And they have stores there that just have lineups of hundreds of these machines, and you walk through and you find the ones that have the characters or movies that you're interested in, and you put in your $4 and you take your chances. And I brought back a lot of little Godzilla gachapons.
Oh,
And
jealous. I'm
some
very jealous.
Ultraman
Oh,
ones, and
killing me here, John. Killing me.
yeah. So, and what I really loved was they're super cute, these toys. And what I really liked was I got a whole line of both Godzilla and Ultraman ones, where they're not in like monster poses, like I'm looking scary or whatever. It's like they're in relaxed pose. Like Godzilla's laying back with his hand rested on his
Oh, I
head,
love it. Love
and
it.
Jaguar sitting kind of cross-legged, like he's at the beach, and like all the monsters are in these relaxed poses that you never see in the movies. And so I love those. I grabbed up all of
Oh, I would have too. I would have.
those.
Okay. I guess I should finally get to fun questions before we run out of time again.
Sure.
Is there a role you've always wanted to play and haven't done it? I mean, the shape obviously is Halloween. You get homages to Texas Chainsaw. Is there something you wanted to homage that you haven't got to yet?
Probably it nothing comes specifically to mind, because sometimes I get to write them myself. So, when you're a huge fan of movies like Friday the 13th and you get to be the shape, like that's a big one off the old checklist,
No, I
right?
agree.
Absolutely. And there's going to be a sequel to Massacre at Beaver Creek.
Oh, cool.
So that's great too. Get to do that whole sequel angle. And in Ouija Shark, the original Ouija Shark, I was just basically a dad who had some connection to mysticism, and ended up, before by the time the movie was over, ended up having some unexpected powers. But by the time we did the second one, I'm like, I'm making a low rent Marvel movie here. I gotta have monsters. I gotta have superheroes. And I mean, that's a big checkoff, right? To be able to say, I made a superhero kind of movie. And the third one is quite a bit like that too. It's lots of monsters, lots and lots of monsters, not one or two, lots and lots of monsters. I think the count is more than between 14 and 18 monsters in the
Wow.
movie. Yeah, it's there's a lot going on. And I wanted it to be kind of like Godzilla Final Wars, where it's like Godzilla versus everybody.
Everybody.
I kind of wanted to have that feeling with the with Ouija Shark 3. So that's hopefully, if you're into that kind of movie, that's something to look forward to. And that one really has, like, a whole superhero kind of feel to it, which, is just the kind of thing that I'd love to do.
Pat, I know you're a huge Spider-Man fan, and we usually touch upon comics a bit. I don't think I've ever asked you, and if I have, please correct me. Who is your favorite Spider-Man? Rags Morales, I will give you because he's animated. But we have Tobey Maguire, we have Andrew Garfield, and we have, his name's forgotten me.
I would say Tobey Maguire, only because, like, that Spider-Man 2 might be like the perfect Spider-Man
Oh,
movie.
no
That
arguments for me. I'm in agreement with you.
it's just everything is right. Dr. Octopus is perfect. The whole Peter Parker struggle is so real in that movie. I think that's one of the greatest superhero movies ever made. That's up there
I
with like
agree.
Superman the movie, and Spider-Man 2, and then after that, everything else is quite far
Really?
down the list.
Even
Close to
Batman
it, close to it.
2? The Heath Ledger Bat Joker one? I don't know. I'd put that up there with it.
The Heath Ledger Joker one, yeah. I don't know. It's not one of my favorites, but
Oh,
I don't. I'm
absolutely
not even.
mine. I can't beat it.
Yeah, I'm not even sure why. Like, it's. I can't point to anything and say I don't like this about it. It just didn't strike me the same chord.
Fair
But
enough.
yeah. I mean, I like the first Michael Keaton Batman movie a lot. I think that's great.
I think it's fun.
And
It has a lot of issues for me. That costume's terrible.
yeah, but it's pretty stiff. And see, and now I'm gonna lose you for sure, because, like, probably for me, the best Batman movie is the 1966 Batman
Oh,
movie.
dude, I'm with
Adam
you. That is one of my favorites. No, I must have watched that. As a kid, that was on TV all the time. So that's got me into Batman. So I watch that weekly.
Yeah, I watched it all the time as a kid too. And then my son Nicholas grew up watching it, and because it was one of the first of the Batman things from that era to come out on DVD, finally it got a release. And I think we wore out that DVD. I think that DVD played that movie daily in our household.
It's
So,
a great film. No, I have
yeah.
no problems. And it has a shark in it. So there you go. That's why you like
Right.
it.
And how great is this? Okay. Again, saying mind-blowing things that never should happen at my level. Someone made a shark documentary called Sharksploitation. And it's a great movie. And it has clips from everything. And so it has clips from Jaws. And then it has a clip from that Batman movie where they show the shark scene, and they have a scene of Fonzie jumping the shark from Happy Days, and of course, hundreds of other things, including a brief shot of me fighting the shark from the original Ouija shark.
That's awesome.
For weeks before I saw it, people were saying, "Have you seen that movie yet?" "No, I haven't seen it yet." "You really should see it." And nobody would tell me I was in it.
That's
They
so
just
good.
kept tell they kept telling me, "You should see that." So when I finally saw it, it blew my mind to be, I mean, even in the smallest way, included with those other clips. Like, Incredible, incredible.
Okay, last question. One collectible you've yet to find and still looking for it.
Ooh. This year I finally found the Mego Batmobile that I have
Really?
been looking for forever. I have replicas of Mego's Batman and Robin from that era, but I don't have the originals. Man, I'd love to have the original 1970s Mego Batman and Robin to put in my newly found Batmobile. That would be incredible.
It's out there. You can find it. I know they're on eBay. They're probably not cheap, but they are there.
No. I can't get those toys on the producer money I'm bringing in.
Well, maybe next one. Maybe Reggie Shark 4 will bring it in for you. Before I let you go, dude, I don't know what to tell you. John's in everything. Just run his name. You'll find a movie. Do you have a website?
No, I've really cut back all my social media. I'm on Twitter, X, I should say. See, that's I'm old school. I can't
I
remember
call
anything.
it Twitter still.
There you go. I'm on X as John Miore, so easy enough to find. And I'm on Facebook, but recently I removed myself from a bunch of other platforms just because I don't really have the time to be checking on them or running a website. I used to do that way back when I was trying really hard to promote myself, and now I just don't care. Whatever, So
Okay.
yeah, I'm on Facebook, I'm on X.
Well, I'll give some people some options. You can listen to him on my show. He's here. Run his name as a Google search. Look at IMDb. The guy has credits. Please go watch his films. They're fun. They're not hard to find. I'm sure you'll
Thank
find
you so
them on
much.
Tubi, Plex, any free service you have. They're on there.
Awesome.
Or worst case scenario, find him on X and ask him, hey, I'm looking for this. He'll tell you where to find it. Thank you, John, as always. You're great.
Thank you. Always fun.
Have a good night.
You too.